That is awesome. Yes, I know it. Bretta has, where are you? You sure? Actually, I need a little segue.
Just have a little reading for the tribute for the fathers today. Father's Day is a day that we honor and celebrate all dads who work tirelessly to support, educate, and protect their families in times of hardship or prosperity. They strive to raise their children to be respectful, responsible, and to be able to be good, productive adults with morals and family values. Dads can be stern, obnoxious, supportive, strict disciplinarians, and extremely protective. Dads sometimes behave like children themselves and can be very funny and entertaining. Most of all, a father's love is unconditional and deeply rooted to the very fiber of their being. Dads are a source of strength and support, encouragement and forgiveness, and deserve to be honored for all that they have done, all that they do, and all that they are. Malachi 4:6, He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And Psalms 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Happy Father's Day.
Well, there was a couple parts in there, Bretta, that really sounded like me. Actually, the obnoxious part. That's the part where I heard my girls laugh. Oh, that's all right. Why don't we pray before we start? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the things that you constantly keep showing us. How you instruct us and you teach us. Your word does say to pray. Father, I pray for all of those that put their name on that board. Father, I would ask two things. It's there to show others that they support the prayer ministry here in this church. Father, I thank you for them. I ask, Jesus, that you would give them the grace and the mercy to continue to pray that our leaders would be protected from all of Satan's schemes. That we would be unified as a body, and that we would grow according to Ephesians chapter 4. I thank you, Lord Jesus. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, this is a Galatians study that we are going to continue with. Galatians, the freedom letter. There are some interesting, life-changing things that we are going to continue to keep seeing in the book of Galatians. Last week, we're just going to do a quick review of the review we did last week. One thing about teaching, because I am a teacher, and constant exposure over and over again to the Word is what helps you memorize. It's also what helps it begin to sink in. There are times that I have read passages, guys, I would guess 100 different times. And then on the 101st time, I got it. It sunk in. I had a professor at school once say, "Mike, the cookies are on the top shelf. And God gives life's choicest blessings to those who study and strive after them." Because that's what the Word says. Know your truth. The blessings are all there. But if we don't find them, we're never going to enter into them and have our lives changed. They're all there. Your position in Christ, who you are in Jesus Christ, all of those things are in this Word, but it cannot be obtained through osmosis. I had a professor at school once tell me that one too. He said, "Now, gentlemen, you need to study for this test. You can't put the Bible under your pillow at night and expect it all to seep in while you sleep." So anyway, starts off here. We're going to go fairly quickly here. Foolish Galatians. We're in chapter 3. Remember, we're actually not in chapter 3. We're really in a big, giant area. We're just showing different things on what the false gospel is in the book of Galatians. It says, "Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Notice the highlighted things, that you should not obey the truth. "Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" Skipping to verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.'" Very important. "Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." Can't have it both ways. You cannot combine the two. The law is not of faith. If you choose to put yourself under the law, then you are not of faith. And you're required to keep all of the law. You've fallen from the way of grace, as it says in Galatians chapter 5. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say "into seeds as of many, but as of one, into your seed, who is Christ." We talked about that a little bit last week. Verse 18, "For if the inheritance is of the law, it's no longer of the promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." Now we're going to jump into chapter 4. We touched on this just a little bit last week. Chapter 4, verses 3 says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." Now, Paul, it's interesting because you find that word "elements" used before. But here it's used differently, and we're going to just see that really quick. In one of the other epistles, I think it's either Colossians or Colossians. In one of those books, he talks about being under the elements of the world, and it basically meant asceticism, pagan rituals, and all that kind of stuff. Here, though, he's not dealing with the Galatians from that perspective. The Galatians had, they didn't have a problem with idols. They didn't have a problem with pagan rituals. That was not their problem. That's not what the Judaizers were teaching them. That was you betcha. The elements of the world meant the law. So Paul has used that before. Let's keep going here. Verse 7, skipping down in chapter 4, it says, "Therefore you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Don't you love that? Today's about fathers. Fathers, sons, daughters. You know, if you're in Christ, you are as in Christ as my girls are. I am their dad. There is nothing that they can do in order to no longer be my children. And the reason why is because they were born that way. You were born again as children of God. How can you be unborn? Verse 9. "But now after you have known God," or rather are known by God, here you go again, here's the elements. "How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" Now, what is the elements that they're turning to? Yeah, back to the law. Back to good things. Wait a minute now. Think about it. The law's not bad, is it? Who gave us the law? God, through the mediation of angels? It wasn't by Satan. The law was not given by Satan. See, that's one of the things that Christians have to be careful of also, is we sit there and go, "Oh, the law is evil. Ew, evil law." It's something that we never... No, guys, the law is good. The problem is with us. If you had laid all those 614 commandments before Adam, prior to the fall, could have kept every single one of them. Every single one of them. And it wouldn't have been difficult at all for him. So the law is not evil. Here, though, it's called weak and beggarly. And it always leads to what? Always leads to bondage. Not necessarily the Jewish law, folks. There are other laws. Gentiles, the law was not given to you. The law was given to the Jewish people. But as it says in Romans, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature those things in the law, they show the work of law on their hearts. So they too are under law. It's just not the written law. You can be under your own law, and it will still lead you to bondage. There are thousands of churches that are under this type of bondage. And we could sit there and go, "Oh yeah, well that's them. And I know who they are. They're the long dresses and the bun heads and no rings and no makeup and whatever we want to say who they are." Okay? But you have your law too. You have your Quad City law. You have your state of Illinois law. You have your America law. Somewhere there's a Janine law, there's a Becky law, there's a Jeff law, there's a Kathy law. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it leads you into bondage. Now, most of us at this point, we're going, "Okay, I kind of get that. So, am I just supposed to be crazy and be lawless?" Well, no, that's not what Mike's saying either. Well, what is he saying? Well, maybe we can figure this out. Let's keep going. Well, here's something. Oh, what's this? They observe days, months, seasons, and years. They observe days. They observe months. They observe seasons and years. These are kind of interesting. Okay, so let's do kind of a record keeping now of what we've learned so far. What do we know so far about this false gospel? Now, I want you to turn. We're going to be turning through Galatians, and then we're going to go a couple books over to Hebrews. Actually, it's more than a couple, but that's the only time we're going to be leaving Galatians, so it's going to be very easy to keep turning back and forth. Okay, first of all, we know, number one, that it's about setting aside the grace of God. Verse 21 says of chapter 2, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. If righteousness comes through any law, Christ died in vain. What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your church attendance? I mean, these are easy ones. Now, here's kind of a wild thought. Let's say at one time you had trouble with anger. Let's use an easy one. At one time you had trouble with anger. Well, life has been pretty rough lately. You've had some bad things happen, some really bad things. You're pushing too hard at work, and all of a sudden you realize the anger's back. The anger that you thought you had whooped is now back. What does that do to your assurance of salvation? If your assurance is in the fact that you are no longer angry, then your assurance is going to be tested, and because it's improperly positioned. Folks, I'm going to tell you a little secret that most of saints that have walked in grace for many years know. The longer that you walk with God, the more holy you're supposed to be, okay, as you get mature. But yet, it's a strange paradox that begins to happen. Because the closer you get to God, the more you realize how far you fall short. Now, wait a minute. So we've got this God that tells us to love Him and to love people and to get to know Him, but yet the more I get to know this God, the farther away He feels. What am I supposed to do with that? The closer I get to Him, the worse I feel about myself, because I begin to see Him, what He really is like, and that is He's holy. How do I deal with that paradox? Folks, there's only one way that it's possible to deal with that paradox. Oh, there's a lot of different ways to deal with it. You can walk away from God. You can very easily say, well, I'm getting too hot and heavy in this stuff, and I got to back off, man. You can ignore it, or you can pretend like it's not true. That's what most of us do. We pretend that we're doing okay. We're doing good enough. Or you can trust solely in the blood of Christ. And you know what I think? I really think God lets you make those choices. I think He sometimes lets you do that so that you can realize how miserable it is, and then you begin to go, there's got to be a better way. There has got to be a better way. Because no matter how good I think I'm getting, a year from now, it's not going to be good enough. At what point am I finally good enough to be able to do this? Oh, well, wait, that's for heaven. Really? No, that's not for heaven. Because that is for heaven, but it's also for now. Because if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, it says today is the day. Hebrews chapter 4 says, today is the day that you enter His rest. Not some future date. And there is a rest for the people of God. Now, my question to all of us is, how are we doing with the rest? Because according to Hebrews chapter 4, it's possible to not really enter into that. How are you doing with rest? Okay? Setting aside the grace of God. Man, there's a lot of stuff in Galatians. Hebrews 4 talks about creation. 6 days. What did God do? Work or rest? Worked. When were you created? Nope. 6 day. Six. You're created on the 6th day. Okay? 6 days of work, then God what? In Hebrews chapter 4, God says, strive to enter that rest. See, on our planet, we work and then we rest. In God's economy, we work to enter that rest. See, there's a difference, okay? Working to enter his rest literally means adjusting yourself so that you are totally resting in Christ and what Christ has done. It's not working, 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 and then someday you enter the rest. No, you are able to enter the rest right now. Today is the day. To cease from your works as God ceased from his. I'm just reading the scriptures, guys. So, what do we do with this setting aside the grace of God? Well, how about this one? Let's keep going. I know you guys are all looking at Hebrews chapter 4 now. Do we need for like 5 minutes to look at Hebrews chapter 4? No. Mark it, bookmark it, and read it when you go home. Okay. It's about the righteousness through the law, both justification and sanctification. We look at Galatians chapter 2. Paul is talking about two different things here. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Two different types of things there, guys. There's justification in that little verse, and there's sanctification in that verse. And both of them are done by the Spirit, not by the law. These guys are saying, you want to be saved? There you get. You got to stay with the law. You want to be... You want to be perfect in your sanctification? Then use the law to do that. No. No, 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 no. It will not work. I've seen it happen in people. And I'm going to tell you guys, last week we talked about it. If you use the law for your sanctification, you will end up a very tired, bitter, cranky person. Very legalistic. Very cranky in the end. I don't read about being cranky here. I don't read this about ending up being cranky. It's about the love. Yeah. Anyway, we can talk about cranky. I've been cranky all week. Jerry has to go, I can sometimes hear Jerry's thoughts. She's going, why don't you just preach what you, live what you preach, hypocrite! You've been so cranky this week, and now you're telling everybody else not to be cranky? What is up with cranky, Mr. Cranky? Happy Cranky Day, Father. It's true. But you know what? A lot of times I think it is. It's gas. Just kidding. Everybody's just like, I can't believe Michael just said that. Well, that can be a problem. I mean, outside of illness and all that kind of stuff, you know what it is a lot of times for people that are trying to mature? They're having trouble grasping the grace of God. They're having trouble grasping the grace, because when I've got the grace of God and I'm resting in that, man, I am Mr. Happy Clam. I'm a lot more happier than when I'm not grasping his grace. Well, 3:1 says this. It's about not obeying the truth. So whatever these Galatians were doing, they were not obeying the truth, because Galatians 3:1 says, very simply, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. That's supposed to answer all the questions, as we're going to, in the next couple weeks, we're going to work through that. It's also about receiving the Spirit by the works of the law. How did you get the Spirit? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay, one is active, the other is passive. Works is active, faith is passive. I'm convinced, guys, faith is a passive thing. Faith is simply receiving. Now, there's a lot of churches that'll say, oh my goodness, Mike is just now preaching heresy. Because faith is an action word. No, I do not believe that. Faith is a passive word that we receive as grass receives the rain and can do nothing. A grass cannot call up to the sky and say, please send rain. No. All grass can do is when the rain is available to receive it. Now, how long is grace available to us? As long as you're alive. Because if you refuse to receive it when you're dead, it's too late. It's about receiving the Spirit by the works of the law. It's about being sanctified by the law. We see that in 3:3. 3:3 says, are you so foolish having begun? Okay, there was a point where they began. And now you're trying to be perfect by what? What's it say? Yeah, by human effort. Or the flesh. Some of our translations say flesh. But human effort, I like that one because that's really what it is. It's human effort. You're trying to be made right by some sort of human effort. Well, Mike, I don't understand this Spirit thing. I don't get this. I don't know how it works in my life because I've been living by laws all my life and I don't want to live that way anymore. Because what I'm reading and what I'm hearing is that you're saying there's something better. See, that's your first step towards freedom, is going, yeah, something's not quite right. I want to know this freedom. I want to enter in this freedom more than anything else in the world, and I want to see what it's like. What is it? Well, number six says it's about being under the curse. This whole law thing. Hey, whatever I said, I am so sorry, okay? I gotta go somewhere. It's about being under the curse. Look at 3:10. Well, we've already read 3:10, haven't we? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the what? Curse. That's bad. That's a bad thing. Curses everyone who does not continue in all things, okay? Number seven, it's about doing all the law. Look at 12. What does verse 12 say? Yeah. Yet the law is not of faith. Guys, I mean, I don't know how much clearer this can be. So if you're living your life as a law thing, then you're missing faith. You're missing the faith way. It's about doing all the law, okay? Here's one. It's about being Jewish. 3:16 says, and we did this last week, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. So some people were saying, well, you got to become Jewish, okay? Well, we see the same thing today, guys. We really do. I mean, this can be... You just got to be careful when you're doing this kind of stuff. But some people will sit there and say, hey, you know what? If you celebrate Passover, if you celebrate this festival that they used to do in the Old Testament, it will increase your spirituality. It will make you okay. It will make you something. No, okay. It's good though. In one sense, to do it so you can be like, oh wow, that's showing Jesus, and it's this is so cool how it used to be, and how clear is this now looking back, and ooh, Passover is such a clear example of salvation. I got it. But if you're using it as a way to become more holy, Not going to work. You people need to celebrate Passover because it will help you become more holy, because they did it in the Old Testament, therefore we should do it. No, that's wrong, guys. That's about being Jewish, and that's weak and beggarly, because they just got done saying that. Well, okay, here's one, 3:18, all right? For if 3:18 says this, turn the page. For if the inheritance is of the law, it's no longer of the promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Here's another fence, guys. Here's another no walk the fence. We've already seen that if it's of faith, it's not of law, and if it's of law, it's not of faith. Now we're seeing that if it's about inheriting the promise by what you do, it's no longer of the promise. You can't have both. 3:18 says, for if the inheritance of the law is of the law, if you gain inheritance in the life through the law, then it's no longer of the promise. You either gain inheritance of life through the promise, or you gain it through the law. And he's saying the law does not work, and you can't do both. You can't mix it. You can't mix it. 4:1 says it's about being a child, slave in position, okay? 4:1 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Okay, putting yourself back under the law means you will be a child again. Okay, in that reference. Why do you want to go back to being a child? Why do you want to go back to being a slave? Why don't you become the full heir that you are? It's about being in bondage. 4:3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. There's that word element again. It's repeated like 3 or 4 different times, and there's a reason why it's elements. Paul interchanges that. Look what it is. It's about, here's another one, 12. It's about turning to something weaker. It's like days and years and Sabbaths and circumcision and all that kind of stuff. There's a reason why, guys, we don't celebrate or we don't worship on Saturday. Friday night to Saturday night, that's the Jewish Sabbath. And we're going to see some things here if we can just get to it. It's about separation between Jews and Gentiles, the tabernacle and the Levitical priesthood, the whole law. Golly, I keep trying to get to this. Just can't get there yet. 4:10, look what it says. You observe days, months, seasons, and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Keep the Sabbath. Golly, Christians for years, guys, have been confused on this one. Years. No, every day is the same. Let me go a slide ahead, then we'll go back to this. A word about the Sabbath. Sabbath actually is a really big question. It really is. Lewis Sperry Schaeffer, in one of his books on grace, he had an entire back section of his book said, the Sabbath, the test question. Because really, the law is about the Sabbath. And if you're still under the Sabbath, that means you're still under some form of, well, I'll let you see, you're under some form of law. Okay, here's what Sabbath means. Sabbath simply means rest. The keeping of the Sabbath meant that Jews were to cease from their work on the seventh day. Cease from their labors. In fact, there were quite a few stringent codes on the whole Sabbath issue. Sabbath did not mean going to synagogue. Sabbath did not mean going to church. Sabbath meant staying home with your family and thinking about God and resting from your daily, day-to-day effort to stay alive. It was to illustrate their absolute dependence upon God's grace for sustenance and salvation. See, guys, if you couldn't cook anything and you couldn't harvest anything and you couldn't pick from anything that day, what did you eat? You had to make sure either you gathered enough from the day before, but see, what if you got relatives that come over and something happens, or people, all of a sudden you've gained maybe 5 or 6 people in your family because Moisha just showed up. Well, they had their ways to do it. It's about a 30-step rule. To illustrate their absolute dependence. Now, okay, here's something that's really cool. Do you see that? Do you see the connection? Hebrews says Jesus is now our Sabbath rest. Do you see the connection? Instead of working, you are now resting in God's provision, God's sustenance, God's salvation. See, to most of us, when we hear the word Jesus is our Sabbath rest, we go, oh yeah, I believe it, but I don't really know how it applies. Well, if you were a Jew, you would totally know how this applies. To say that somebody now has taken all of the responsibility, all of the work, all of the redemption, all of the sanctification, all of the glorification, and put it upon himself, I would call that absolute dependence, wouldn't you? So salvation really is absolute dependence upon who? Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. When it says Jesus is our Sabbath rest, it means depending upon Christ. Does everybody see that? That's huge. That's why the Sabbath is gone, guys. I mean, it's really not gone. You've just died from it. It's still around. It's not evil. It'll be in the kingdom. But see, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. You are of the church. That's totally different from anything anybody could have ever imagined. A people for God's own possession, a new race being built from the last 2,000 years and beyond. Isn't that crazy? That's why Paul says it's a mystery. The church is a mystery. Okay. I did want to show you that. Next week, we're going to be on Hebrews chapter 7, and I'll show you what else. That. We're starting Galatians 4:21 that talks about more things that these people were under. The false gospels. So what are you depending on this day? That's what it comes down to, folks. There's a lot of confusion with this now. There's a lot of confusion. I can't say that I have it all figured out. I just know that I'm accepted in the Beloved. That's where I have to stand. And some of us, it's easier for us to do. Some of us firstborners, it's really tough. Maybe Hebrews chapter 4 was directed towards us. Strive to enter that rest. You have to work in order to get into that rest. Isn't that an oxymoron? Isn't that just kind of crazy? I have to really work in order to rest. It's a constant battle day after day. Some people are just able to just rest and just say, Jesus paid it all. Me, I have to wake up every morning and say, basically, Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am accepted in the Beloved. I'm not going to listen to the measuring line. I'm not going to listen to any scary thoughts. I'm not going to listen to anything but what comes from your love and grace. I have to do that every single day. So don't be depressed if you're like, man, this grace thing, it's really tough for me to enter in. I'm in, but it's not an easy thing to stay on. I mean, it's just, wow, work's coming right back in real quick. They just fly right in. Okay, well, let's stand. Boy, this is a risky message, isn't it? It shouldn't be, but it is. Because somebody inevitably will say, well, Mike, what you're saying is you can do whatever you want and it'll just redound all the more to grace. You know, whatever. I just want to know God's grace and His rest. Let's pray. Father, your words are so clear. You stopped working on the seventh day. You have told us that we are to cease from our works as you did yours. But yet we're also created in Christ Jesus for good works. So it's got to be a rest. A resting for sanctification, a resting for justification, that Father, you, by our position and who we are in you, and understanding that the Spirit flows out of us, therefore we do good works that were created before the beginning of time. But without faith, it is impossible to please you. Father, I thank you for these things. Help us to enter in. Dispel any of the confusion. Enable us to just simply understand. And I pray these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great Father's Day. And small group people, I'll see you tonight.